You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and you're listening to the American Hour. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We've got a great show lined up, and we're going to do it rapid fire. So hang on. I've got links left and right. You can get all of the stuff off of Twitter and Facebook. You've got to follow us. If you're not following us on Facebook, go to the American Hour radio show page. And right there, I'm looking at it right now, says the American Hour radio show for tonight. The incompetent in chief watch continues at 7 p.m. Eastern. Number one, most recent lies. Number two, most recent constitutional violations. Number three, most recent incompetence. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And of course, I've got a very nice cartoon there that has a Tea Partier on the left with a big sign saying, "Leave us alone." And to the right, there's a scummy, bearded Occupy Wall Streeter with a big sign that says, "Take care of us all." And there you have it. That's what we're up against. The 99 percenters. In fact, they're not the 99 percenters. They're really probably the 1 percenters, the scumbags out there that just want something for nothing, while the rest of us work our butts off to, provide for our families, et cetera. And, of course, yes, we have the rich. They worked very hard, too. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But also on Twitter, you've got to follow us there. It's the American Hour, the American Hour. And, of course, Twitter, the way it works, is at the American Hour. And you can find the tweets that we put out. And, of course, I know that all of you are probably asking, okay, where's Paula? Well, Paula was unavailable tonight. She had some business to take care of in Boston tonight. So, unfortunately, Paula was on my lovely co-host, could not be here tonight. So she won't be with us. But one of the tweets that I put out, let's see, yesterday, Gallup finds unemployment climbing to near 9% in February. Now, did you see that in the mainstream media today or yesterday? Absolutely not. As well as underemployment up to 19%. It was at like 18.7%. It's up to 19%. And the Gallup poll typically mimics what the government's going to come out with in the first week of March for February's unemployment numbers. Now, you can say, well, it doesn't always, it's not always, but it's a barometer of the direction it's going to go. So expect to see unemployment climb. Well, it's at 8.3% now. What's it going to climb to? Who knows? But they're predicting 9%. It's going to go up. That's the bottom line. Unless this administration works very hard to cook the books, but it's going to be hard to do. We're going to see it go up. Mark my words. In the news, and we're going to get to all of the stuff that I just talked about, but I got to point a few things out. Our good friend Lloyd Marcus is in the news on The American Thinker. If you go to February 22nd and look at the blogs on American Thinker, you've got Lloyd Marcus with the title, "Obama's Racism Completely Out of the Closet." So here you go. Wow, President Obama no longer, and by the way, we've had Lloyd on the show a couple times, and we really appreciate him giving his time to come on the show. We've done entire shows with him. So if you want to go back and look in the archives, go to usaradionetwork.com, usaradionetwork.com, and you can find the archives of our shows where Lloyd Marcus was the headliner, and we spent, I think the entire show. In one case, I think we spent an entire hour. In another case, we spent a full half hour talking with him. What a great interview. And this guy is just a pure patriot. So here we go. Talk about in-your-face racism. Obama announced his 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama. Considering that the Obama administration has admitted they do not care about the working class white vote, this outrageous video confirms Obama's race card and class envy card reelection campaign. The message in Obama's video is, "Vote for me because I'm black." and I'm going to punish the rich. Democrats are always screaming about separation of church and state, and yet in his video, Obama solicits people to become congregation captains for his reelection campaign. And you know what that means. Go to your church and become a captain of your congregation. So he's saying, rally your church behind me because I'm black. Come on, black America. Rally around me because I'm your homie prez. Despicable. Lloyd Marcus is a proud, unhyphenated American. And again, you can check out our past interviews with him to find out just what kind of an American he is, and you'll find that he is one of the absolute best. But there you have it. Lloyd Marcus calling Obama out on his racism, and I'll call him out too. Obama's a racist. He's an absolute racist, and he attended a racist church for 20 years, a clearly racist church. Speaking of racism, how about Harry Reid, about as white and as pale as you can get, calling out Marco Rubio for not supporting a Hispanic. He questioned Marco's Hispanic commitment and commitment to Hispanic issues, given his early opposition to an ambassadorial nominee who is Puerto Rican. In other words, hey, Marco, you can't support somebody because she's from Puerto Rico. She's Hispanic. She's Latina. Go against somebody like that, you're not supporting your Hispanic values. You know what, Harry Reid? You're an idiot. You're a dumbass. You're a sack of fecal matter. Because, remember everybody, my last name is Garcia. That's right. My family history is from Mexico. I don't support people because of the color of their skin or because of their name. I support them because they support the Constitution. And that's the problem with these libtards. They want you, if you are a person of color, a person of some other background other than Anglo-Saxon Europe, you know, whatever you want to call it, and you don't support people simply because of the skin, their skin color, or because of their last name, then you're somehow a racist. Harry Reid, you, sir, are an absolute racist. You're a moron, and you're a racist. So there you have it. Okay, let's get on with the show. We've got a good show tonight. You're going to like it. And remember, I'm going to go back and tell you what the show is supposed to be about. And we're going to do this time and time again. Most recent lies, most recent constitutional violations, and most recent incompetence. And this is just within the last few days. So here we go. What about the price of gas? Just keeps going up. Now, the Obama administration says they've been making things better when it comes to, oil exploration, reducing imports, reducing output within the country. Of course, Obama said 3 years ago that energy prices would necessarily skyrocket if he had his way. And at a press conference on the 11th of March, 2011, President Obama gave a whopper of a lie. He said, we're producing more oil and we're importing less. Now, does that sound familiar? That was in 2011, and now in 2012, he's saying that we're importing less. Once again, he keeps drumming on this. The fact is, we're importing more, and, you know, realistically, his job is to make it more attractive to import less. What's happening is we're exporting a lot more oil than we have in the past. And in 2008, Stephen Chu, which was his energy secretary, declared, somehow we have to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to the levels of Europe. Wow. So guess what? They're doing it. Let's talk about Rick Santorum. I support Rick Santorum. I've endorsed Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is our future president. Now, he made a remark about Satan, and Satan has targeted the United States of America because we are a Judeo-Christian society, and that's a significant threat to him. What does he mean about that? Oh, my gosh, he's a right extremist, Christian wacko, blah, blah, blah. Well, let's take a look at it. I've said this on the show before, but if Lucifer, his goal is to destroy Christianity, is to destroy this world, then he's going to go after the people or the countries that are the biggest threat to his agenda. Now, Rick Santorum is a devout Catholic. So what I'm going to do is move away from the Catholic Church and move to a church, the Mormon Church. And you can go to Wikipedia. This is where I'm going right now on Wikipedia. Wikipedia talks about agency in the Mormon Church, the LDS Church, also referred to as free agency. In the Latter-day Saint theology, it is the privilege of choice which was introduced by God the Eternal Father to all of his spirit children in the pre-mortal state, in other words, before you got a body. Mortal life is viewed as a test of faith, where our choices are central to the plan of salvation. It was essential for the eternal progression that they be subjected to the influences of both good and evil. In other words, you've got to prove yourself. Now, what they leave out of this discussion, and I'll continue, it says, Mormons believe that Lucifer presented an alternative plan which resulted in a war in heaven and Lucifer being cast out. But they don't tell you what the alternative plan was. Here's what the alternative plan was. Christ said, let everybody have a choice. We'll explain to everybody what the options are. I will go down and I will give my life freely to atone for their sins so that they have the ability to repent and still return to heaven. But they must choose for themselves. What was Lucifer's plan? His plan was, I will force them to do what is right. I will force them to do what is right, and therefore I will return all of their souls to you, Heavenly Father. Wow. Force us all. No choice. Force us. Does that sound a little bit familiar? Obamacare? Force you to do what is right. Force you to have to buy something. Force you, force you, force you. And here you have Obama at a prayer breakfast talking about why it's the Christian way to force people to do what is right. Because it's right. Because it's the Christian way. He totally doesn't get it. He really is totally off base. That's because he spent 20 years in a racist abomination church, an abomination to Christianity. Black liberation theology is a distortion of Christianity, and it is an abomination on this earth. Absolutely. So we don't even have to talk about the Catholic Church. There are other theologies. That's one of them. There are many others that believe in free agency, that believe that man must choose for himself. We will lay it out there for you, but you've got to exercise some faith, but we're not going to force you. But Obama's plan, just like Lucifer's plan, is to force you. And I'm not putting words in Rick Santorum's. Those are my words. When he talks about Satan targeting the United States of America, of course, who is Lucifer going to target to destroy mankind? Not somebody that's of no threat whatsoever. He's only going to target people or organizations or countries or cultures that are a threat. I mean, think about it. It doesn't make any sense. You don't target somebody that's not a threat. You only target somebody that's a threat. Look, I spent 22 years in the Navy. I'm a Top Gun fighter pilot. I understand. You don't target non-threats. You target threats. And that's precisely what Lucifer will do. He will target the threat. And so he has absolutely targeted the United States of America. And look at the direction things have gone in this country. We have been targeted to destroy religion. And this president is a destroyer of religion, and he must be stopped. So I absolutely support Rick Santorum. He is completely on target, completely on mark. All right, Obama is just today holding a $30,000 fundraiser. In other words, you've got to be able to pony up $30,000 to sit there and have dinner with him, or you can't show up. $30,000. I mean, who can do that? Well, that's the 1%. Only the 1% can afford that. But remember, he stands for the 99%. Well, where is he holding his $5 fundraisers? No, he needs a lot more money than that. So he cannot work with you and I. He's got to work with the top 1%. Well, why is it that he can work with the top 1%, but he's targeting the top 1%? Because they're not paying their fair share. Did you know that according to Forbes, 80% of the top 500 earners in this country are Democrats. 80%. But yet, Obama tells us that it's the Republican Party that caters to the rich, except the majority of the rich are Democrats. How does that work? How is it that the rich are evil and bad and they're Republicans and they're conservatives and they hate this country and want to destroy it, except yet they're Democrats? Doesn't really work out. His rhetoric about the rich not paying their fair share is really about coming after your money. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but it's corporate taxes. He goes after them saying, we're going to tax dividends, we're going to tax the corporations, and go after the evil corporations, when in fact, no corporations pay any taxes. Consumers pay taxes. Corporations roll their taxes into the bottom line and raise their prices. You and I pay corporate taxes, not corporations. So, moving along, under the title of incompetence, Stephen Dinan, D-I-N-A-N, The Washington Times, the federal government said Tuesday that fresh milk is 150 times more dangerous than pasteurized milk. 150 times more. We know numbers can lie. If over 100 years, 15 people got sick from milk, versus nobody under pasteurized milk, or one person under pasteurized milk, then all of a sudden you got 150 times more. A finding that bolsters the government argument as it goes after farmers who are selling unpasteurized milk across, oh my gosh, state lines. Oh my gosh. But within state lines, and there you go, state sovereignty. Yes, they can do it, and nobody's getting sick. After a 13-year review, the taxpayer-funded Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found 200 out of 239, remember, this is 13 years, 200 out of 239 hospitalizations during the study stemmed from cases of fresh milk. Oh my gosh, 13 years worth of review? Taxpayer funded? Where in the Constitution does it say that the federal government is going to decide how to make you healthy and not healthy? And screw you, we don't care, you want fresh milk, fresh eggs, fresh beef, fresh plants, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. If it's not working out, somehow after a 13-year study and a few hundred people have gotten sick over 13 years, do you know how many times I've gotten sick from food poisoning eaten at, some fast food restaurant or I'm an international airline pilot, I fly all over the world. I've gotten sick eating things like ceviche, and I love ceviche. Let's ban it. Let's ban it all. Oh, I can't have it all because somebody got sick one time. Somebody got sick a couple times. There you go. It's not the job of the federal government. We know the risk. Every time I eat ceviche, and if you don't know what ceviche is, it's relatively raw seafood that is not cooked, but I don't know what the right word for it is now. Use lemon, and really, quite honestly, it's lime. Lime juice to cure it, whether it be fish, shrimp, octopus, etc., to cure it, and then you eat it. It's really like sushi in a way, but it's somewhat cured in that it seems like it's been cooked somewhat, not quite like sushi. But think about that. Oh, how many times has anybody ever gotten sick from sushi? Oh, ban sushi. Ban it. I want the federal government to get the hell out of my way and get away from my food choices. I know what the risks are, and they're not going to kill me. I might get sick, and I have a few times. And the last time I had ceviche in Lima, Peru, was at a very reputable restaurant. And when you get sick, what do I mean by sick? Well, you get a parasite. I mean, I don't know what to say. I love ceviche. I'm going to keep eating it. That's the way it is, and I hope I never get a parasite again. But it happens. But I don't want the federal government to say, well, we know how to best protect you. You can never have ceviche again because we don't want you to have a parasite. That's bad. There are many, many people that believe that fresh milk is much more healthy. And think about this. How many things have you been told that fresh fruits, organic meat, organic this, organic that, is better than the processed and on? Yeah, exactly. But the government's now going to start outlawing that stuff. No, get away from me. Stop it. Get away. Okay, under the title of unconstitutional, by Richard, this is going to be a tough one, Vigouret and Mark Fitzgibbons, under the American Thinker, go to the American Thinker and look for Richard Vigouret and Mark Fitzgibbons. In response to the Obama administration mandate requiring Catholic institutions to pay for insurance covering contraception, U.S. Catholic bishops announced that they will not obey the law. Now, this is what these two gentlemen have to say. The bishops have got it wrong and backwards. And you know what? I agree. Not that they got it wrong and backwards, but kind of. We've all got it wrong and backwards. The law that's being broken is the Constitution. It's not the U.S. Catholic bishops and Catholic churches that are breaking the law. It's this administration that is breaking the law. The Constitution is America's paramount law, meaning that not only does it trump statutory laws contrary to it, but it supersedes any Obama administration mandate that violates it. And any Obama administration law, and this is based on the simple phrase that insurance companies will provide prescription medication. That is how the Obama administration is ruling, that all insurance companies will provide abortion pills, even though that might be against the conscience of anybody who purchases insurance or gives it to their employees. I don't want to give my employees insurance that violates my conscience. And if my conscience says no to abortion pills, I will hire an insurance company that does not provide abortion pills. And I will tell my employees, if you want to work here, but you need abortion pills, no, I'm sorry. Go find employment elsewhere, or you can stay here, but you have to pay for it yourself. But the Obama administration is saying, no, Tom, you will provide your employees with abortion pills. That violates the First Amendment. And this administration is violating the Constitution. On the next phrase, let's take a break and listen to a couple sound bites. A couple of my favorite sound bites. Here, Obama pledges to cut the deficit. Remember this? He pledges to cut the deficit. Now they're saying, oh, we had no idea it was going to be this bad. But remember, in 2008, when Obama, the candidate, was running, he said, this is the worst crisis since the Depression. But now he says, oh, we had no idea it was this bad. Oh, wait a minute. It's not the worst crisis since the Depression. It's as bad as the Depression, or it's worse? Is that what he's saying? But we're not in Depression. We've only been in a recession. So he's either completely incompetent, or he's a liar. Either way, not good as a president. Here we go.
And that's why today I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
Well, he's failed at that. But now his excuse is, oh, we had no idea. Well, he did have an idea. He made it very clear in 2008. He said, this is the worst crisis since the Great Depression. Now he's saying, oh, we had no idea. We thought it was the worst crisis since Jimmy Carter. Ah. There you go. There's line number 2, 3, whatever. I don't know what we're up to. Okay. Next on the unconstitutional list. This is by Fred Lucas, CNS News. Quote from President Obama, when Congress refuses to act, Joe, the dumb as a doornail, dumbest vice president ever, and I'm still going on, quote, Joe, dumb as a doornail, dumbest vice president, and stupidest, dumbest senator ever to serve in our nation's history, and I are going to act, Obama said on Tuesday with Vice President Joe Biden at his side. In the months to come, wherever we have an opportunity, well, that means pretty much any time he wants because he violates the Constitution at will, we're going to take steps on our own, on our own to keep this economy moving. What's he done so far to keep the economy moving? Well, unemployment's up, the economy's down, the dollar's worth less. If you want to know where the economy is, look at where the price of gold is. The price of gold reflects the value of our dollar, and the price of gold just keeps going up and up. And that means our dollar is worth less. And why would our dollar be worth less? Because we keep printing money, which makes it worthless. And continually trying to raise taxes. And we're going to get to that. Continually trying to raise taxes. He's been unsuccessful. When he's unsuccessful, he claims success. I've kept taxes down. But he wants to raise taxes. He's constantly wanting to raise taxes. And yet the Congress and the Senate stop him. Then he claims success for what they stopped. But he, if he had his way, would be raising taxes. Now, let's move on to another lie. This is by Robert Winnett and James Kirkup of the Telegraph. Now, this is a British newspaper. The 50% tax rate is failing to boost revenues. What they did in the United Kingdom was they raised the top tax rate to 50%, but not only raised it to 50%, but on more people. The amount of income tax paid fell sharply last month in the first formal indication of the new 50% higher rate, and it's not raising the expected amount of revenue. A Treasury source said the relatively poor revenues from self-assessment returns, in other words, what people are going to pay up front because they know they got to pay it, was partly down due to highly paid individuals arranging their affairs to avoid paying the 50% rate. You can raise taxes and people are going to figure out a way to reduce their tax liability. That's natural. So the revenue is down in the UK. Now, this is going to play into what we're going to talk about in a moment, where the president has said we're going to reduce corporate tax rates. But he's not telling the truth. We're not going to reduce corporate tax rates. We're going to actually increase them, and we're going to dip into the middle class pockets. So how are we going to do that? Bottom line is the United Kingdom just tried raising tax rates, and guess what? Revenues went down. That's what's going to happen if we attempt to do the same thing. Now, before I get into that, let's play another soundbite, one of my favorite soundbites. This is from President Barack Obama.
We will not rest until we reach a day when not one single veteran falls into homelessness. I will not rest until the dream of health care reform is finally achieved in the United States of America. We will not rest until we are succeeding in generating the jobs that this economy needs. I will not rest until businesses are investing again and businesses are hiring again. We will not rest until we build an economy that's ready for America's future. I'm not going to rest, and my administration is not going to rest in our efforts to help people who are looking to find a job. We will not rest until this well is shut, the environment is repaired, and the cleanup is complete. My administration will not rest until every American who is able and ready and willing to work can find a job.
Wow, he's just not going to rest, but he continues to play golf and go on vacations. And he has not achieved any of the things that he said, not a single one. All right, from the Wall Street Journal today, Mr. Obama is proposing to raise the dividend tax rate to the higher personal income tax rate of 39.6% that will kick in next year. Add in the planned phase-out of deductions and exemptions, and the rate hits 41%. Now, I got to say, I've said this many, many times. All deductions and tax breaks that corporations get, they do not pay. They roll into their price of business. You and I pay. So if their taxes go up, we pay more for every good and service that we purchase. Then add in the 3.8% investment tax surcharge for Obamacare. Yes, under Obamacare, there's a 3.8% investment tax. If you want to invest in something, There's a 3.8% tax to help pay for Obamacare. That's the only way they could possibly pay for it. And the new dividend tax rate would be 44.8%, nearly three times today's 15%. Now, he said he was going to reduce the corporate tax rate from 35 to 28%. But you start kicking in all these other taxes, in the end, the ultimate tax rate is higher. So he's trying to say that, oh, I'm pro-business, except I'm actually going to raise tax rates for businesses. So let me continue on. This is the Wall Street Journal article. In previous budgets, Mr. Obama proposed an increase to 23.8% on both dividend and capital gains. That's roughly a 60% increase in the tax on investments. But at least it would maintain parity between taxes on capital gains and dividends, a principle established as part of George Bush's 2003 tax cut. With the same rate on both forms of income, the tax code doesn't bias, in other words, favor corporate decisions on whether to retain or reinvest profits and allow the earnings to be capitalized on the stock price or to distribute the money as dividends at the time they're earned. So in other words, it doesn't bias it one way or the other. It doesn't push companies to say, well, we're going to reinvest the profits or we're going to distribute them as dividends to the shareholders. Keep in mind that dividends are paid to shareholders only after the corporation pays taxes on its profits. So in other words, the corporation pays taxes. Then it distributes its dividends. So assuming a maximum 35% corporate tax rate and a 44.8% dividend tax, the total tax on corporate earnings passed on as dividends. So if you are invested in a corporation, the total tax passed on to you is 64.1%. Of course, the White House wants everyone to know that this new tax rate would apply only to those filthy rich individuals who make $200,000 a year or $250,000 if you're a greedy couple. We're all supposed to believe that no one would be hurt other than the rich folks. Other than rich folks that could afford it. The truth is that the plan gives a new meaning to the term collateral damage because shareholders of all incomes will share in the pain. Here's why. Historical experience indicates that corporate dividend payouts are highly sensitive to the dividend tax. Dividends fell out in favor in the 1990s when dividend tax rate was roughly twice that of capital gains. When the rate fell to 15% on January 1, 2003, dividends reported on tax returns nearly doubled to $196 billion from $103 billion year before. By 2006, dividend income had grown to nearly 330. Let me go back. 196, previously 103 billion, now 337 billion, more than three times the pre-tax cut level. Shortly after the rate cut, Microsoft, which had never paid a dividend, distributed $32 billion of its retained earnings in a special dividend of $3 per share. According to the Cato Institute study, S&P or 22 S&P 500 companies that didn't pay dividends before the tax cut began paying them in 2003 and 2004. As a former Citigroup CEO, Sandy Wheel, explained at the time, the recent change in the tax law levels the playing field between dividends and share repurchases as a means of return to capital to shareholders. The substantial increase in our dividend will be part of our effort to reallocate capital to dividends and reduce share repurchases. Well, who would get hurt? IRS data shows that retirees and near retirees who depend on dividend income would be especially hurt. Almost three of four dividend payments go to those over the age of 55, and more than half go to those older than 65, according to IRS data. Well, there you have it. I've said this many, many times on the show. What happens when you go after the evil corporations and raise their taxes or raise dividend rates or capital gains rates, et cetera? You're going after retirees. You're going after the middle class. This has nothing to do with going after the evil corporations because they pass their losses on to the consumer and the investors. But all American shareholders would lose. Higher dividend and capital gains taxes make stocks less valuable. A share of stock is worth the discounted present value of the future earnings stream after taxes. Stock prices would fall over time to adjust to the new after-tax rate of return. And if investors become convinced later this year that dividend and capital gains taxes are going away, are going way up on January 1st, some investors are likely to sell shares ahead of paying those higher rates. The question is, how does this help anyone? According to the Investment Company Institute, about 51% of adults own stock directly or through mutual funds, which is more than 100 million share owners. Tens of millions more own stocks through pension funds. I do. I absolutely do. Why would the White House endorse a policy that will make these households, yes, me, you, anybody that has a pension fund, poor? Because they're after our money. They make it sound like we're going after the rich, evil, bad corporations. They're coming after the middle class. That's the bottom line. They're not going after the rich, evil corporations because they never pay anymore. Their bottom line, their rate of return is always the same. Yours and mine, not so much. Seldom has there been a clear example of a policy that is supposed to soak the rich but will drench almost all American families. All right. Under the title of incompetence, this is, you can find this on MrConservative.com. The following are 8 statistics that prove that the economy has not improved under Barack Obama since he's become president. But he claims that the economy's improved. I don't really know how that has because none of the data supports that. But here we go. Today, there are 88 million working Americans that are not employed and that are not looking for employment. That is an all-time record high. When Barack Obama was elected, the percentage of unemployed Americans that had been out of work for more than 52 weeks was less than 15%. Today, it's above 30%. There are 1.2 million fewer jobs in America today than when Barack Obama was inaugurated. Again, go to MrConservative.com, MrConservative.com. You got all the links to all of this data. When Barack Obama first took office, the number of long-term unemployed workers in the United States was approximately 2.6 million. Today, 5.6 million. Oh, wow, you're doing such great. It's the summer of recovery. Well, yeah, 2 years ago, except it didn't actually turn out to be. Yeah, summer of recovery. Maybe it'll be the decade of recovery, next decade, after we get rid of the schmuck. The average duration of unemployment in the United States is hovering close to an all-time record. During the Obama administration, worker health insurance costs have risen by 23%. Thank you. Oh, but we're going to reduce health care costs. Oh, we're going to reduce. Since Barack Obama has been president, oh, by the way, tomorrow night we're going to talk about the myth of rising health care costs. Since Barack Obama has been president, the average price of gasoline in the United States has increased by 90%. But he's doing everything he can to reduce the cost, everything he can to reduce importation. Yeah, right, it's working really good. Since Barack Obama has been president, home values in the United States have declined by another 13%. Under this president, new home sales set a brand new all-time record low in 2009. They set a brand new all-time record low in 2010, And they set a brand new all-time record low in 2011. Number 10, since this president has taken office, the number of Americans living in poverty has risen by 6 million. Since this president entered the White House, the number of Americans on food stamps has increased from 32 million to 46 million. Oh, my gosh. The list goes on. I can't even take any more. I got more, but I can't stop. Here is our final lie installment for tonight. Terrence Jeffrey on CNS News. Obama contradicted the Health and Human Services banned determining whether mandate was cost-effective. There would be no consideration. This is what the administration told to the department. There will be no consideration of cost-effectiveness. That was the explicit condition that the Department of Health and Human Services imposed on the panel of healthcare experts commissioned to develop the preventative services, that's where we come up with abortion pill, the preventative services mandate that will require virtually all health insurance plans in the United States to cover. The fact that the Health and Human Services Department prohibited the panel from considering the cost-effectiveness of the mandate it developed contradicts Obama's declaration at the White House last Friday that his administration had adopted the panel's recommendations precisely because, quote, they will make the overall cost of health care lower. That's that last lie. I don't know for tonight. That's lie number 5, 6, 7, 8, infinity, whatever it is. But the president said in that briefing that it will make the overall cost of health care lower, when in fact his department told his health care experts that you cannot include into your determination cost-effectiveness. You cannot include the cost-effectiveness in preventive services. So there you have it. Line number 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, I've lost count. All right, we're back tomorrow night. A great show. We will continue to let you know about the latest lies, constitutional violations, contradictions, and failures and incompetence of this administration. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is the American Hour. I'm Commander Tom Garcia. And tomorrow night, I expect Paulo Zahn, my lovely co-host, to be joining us. We will see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.